Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are back. It's Tuesday. Sassy Stilgar is still selling hot dogs. Let's just jump right into it, because we left yesterday with, you know, Paul approaching Jaemys.
Yep.
And the seated Fremen. And Jaemys is still seething. I feel like if this was a cartoon, you would see like that purple, like wavy haze coming off of him.
Sure, sure. He's like in his brooding pose. Still in the crouch position and just brooding.
That Slav squat, just brooding, just fucking ripping cigs.
We get a lot of shots of people just like watching the fight.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a theme throughout this week of just like revolving
crowd reactions
and just long headshots from people.
I like it though, because it shows the diversity of the different people within mm-hmm. the Fremen.
Yeah.
And this is the first time, like, we saw the Fremen when Paul first landed on Arrakis mm-hmm. and they had the big bagpipe scene, and you know, Thufir Hawat was walking them to the Ornithopters, but the Fremen that we saw were all just like wrapped in what looked like bedsheets.
Yeah.
And just like massive, like heavily super robed. Covered. You could really only see their faces. I also noticed going back and redoing all of the thumbnails to match the higher quality that we have now and everything. Only one person in that entire scene had their eyes colored with the eyes of Ibad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a disappointing oversight.
Save that for the goofs later.
But I feel like in this moment we get a lot more intimate with the Fremen, where it's not like this mass of people, but it's just like this smaller group, and we can see their reactions on their faces. There's there's one Fremen man in particular who just looks completely like disinterested in Paul, and he's only just there to watch Jaemys like kick ass.
Sure. Yeah. Well, he's their boy, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's not,
root for the hometown
hero. He's not got a Paul hat on and a flag and everything, obviously, but like,
you got to root for the home team, man.
Yeah. If they don't win, it's a shame.
Yeah. Peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
Yep. Baseball. Yeah. World Series is going on right now. Yeah, so it's top
right,
of mind.
Right on the mind. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I do whenever I go to different cities in the US. You know, I always try to go to a baseball game if I can.
Yeah.
Specifically like minor league baseball. I love minor league baseball.
Zach collects minor league baseball hats.
They're great games.
If you have a minor league around you,
let me know.
Yeah.
Well, don't send me anything, because my rule is that I have to go to a game before I get a hat.
Okay.
I have to go to a game. So, but I always just, you know, buy whatever home team's hat is there when I go to the game.
My favorite one of yours is the Macon Bacon one, though.
The Macon Bacon, dude. It's so good. Macon, Georgia has a, like, what, AAA?
I don't know. It's some feeder team.
Yeah. Some like, you know, lower league team, and they're called the Bacons. The Macon Bacons, and it's a great name. So yeah, we get the guys. They're all, I mean, I think everyone here is, maybe aside from 50% of Stilgar, is rooting for Jaemys. Stilgar's probably the only one who's actually on the fence.
Yep.
So I think anyone else is going to be on Jaemys' side.
Well, what I love in this moment too is like all the Fremen are seated, and then you have Stilgar, who's lounging.
Mm-hmm.
And then next to him, you just have Jessica, who's super awkwardly standing up. And she's doing this thing with her wrists where, like, she's standing and her arms are straight to her side, but her wrists are, like, bent up. So her hands are, like, parallel to the ground.
Yeah.
And it just looks so uncomfortable. And it's just like,
she's in full Stressica mode.
Yeah. No, she is Stressica. And I get that. But I just think it looks so funny because everyone's just like chilling and she's just standing there by herself.
Yeah.
just looking just, so awkward,
just freaking out.
Yeah.
So yeah, we get this round of intense close-ups. Paul's walking out to the arena, and he's
everyone's
like,
staring Paul down.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and he's like flipping his knife around, getting used to the weight of it. James is still crouched down, concentrating, and he rises up and he says the thing.
Well, the music swells as he rises too. Yeah.
And the music's doing a lot of, like, carries a lot of weight in this next couple of minutes.
Well, it does and it doesn't, and okay. We'll get into that here soon enough. But yeah, we get the first time it's said in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
James rises. May thy knife chip and shatter.
Love this, by the way. Love this line. I especially like the way that James said it. He put a lot of emphasis on thy.
Yeah. May thy knife chip and shatter.
Yeah. Not mine. Yours. For sure. Yours.
Yeah.
Paul was not expecting this. I don't think he expected there to be any kind of like pre-flight pleasantries or whatever.
Yep.
And he just reverts back to his training and did the Atreides salute.
Yep. And
in comparison to may thy knife chip and shatter,
weak as fuck.
The Atreides salute looks dumb as hell.
Yeah. I will say, though, I don't think we ever saw anyone other than Duncan Idaho utilize that salute. So I don't know if it's an Atreides salute or if it's Duncan's own thing. Because it is reminiscent of, well, I mean, the only time we saw Duncan ever do it was right before he died. So I don't know if that's Paul trying to invoke, you know, the skill and bravery of Duncan Idaho in this moment, or if it's just like he didn't have anything else. So he's like, fuck it. Like, let me just do what my best friend does.
That's a good point. Do we not see any other trainees do it?
No.
Dang. Okay.
No, all we ever see is nothing to see but to hear. The choreographed Atreides. Yeah.
The script does not give any kind of
indication.
Well, clarity on that. It just says Paul salutes with his knife in the chivalric manner.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Cool.
I think it's safe to assume, though, it's an Atreides thing.
I think it's a Duncan thing, but that's just me. You know, whatever.
Right. It could be. It could be either way. Pre-fight pleasantries.
You said pre-flight earlier too. I love it.
That pre-flight is much more of a term in my world now than pre-fight is. So I guess the pre-fight pleasantries like continue, I guess, as they like circle around each other.
Well, so James starts circling around Paul, who then, you know, because he's had enough training, knows like, hey, maybe I shouldn't stand still. So he counters James's movements. And I feel like this is just James trying to fuck with Paul, get in his head, and like psych him out before he makes a move. I don't see this as like any kind of pleasantries.
It's not ritual for sure.
No, it's definitely psychological. Well, I mean, because James starts this moment saying, "You should welcome my blade. This world will kill you quicker this way."
Yeah, which is another
again stone cold as fuck. But
I think James may have the best lines in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
This might be a little bit of recency bias, but it's going to come down between him and Duncan have the best lines.
Gurney Halleck's got some really fucking good ones. He does got some good ones,
too. I mean, three great characters.
Yeah. Though the writers did fuck us and, you know, leave out, you know, Gurney Halleck's best line.
That's true. That's very true.
Mood is for cattle and lovemaking.
We got 75%.
Gurney's got jokes.
We got 75% of it. That's better than we could have asked for.
We got 50% of it.
Okay, fair.
Because he just said, what's mood got to do with it?
Yeah, that's true. He didn't give the examples. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, writers. Give us more.
In fact, I'm going to say 40% because like they just add probably a reference to a song.
What?
Instead of what's mood got to do with it, what's love got to do with it?
Okay. What's mood got to do with it? Do with it.
But yeah, back to Jameis. He's got the fucking coldest lines here.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not wrong. Arrakis will kill him.
I mean, it almost has many times already.
And Jameis isn't the first Fremen to tell Paul that Arrakis will kill him.
Yeah.
So in Jameis's eyes, you know, he can offer this skinny white boy that just showed up a mercy and make it quick.
It's interesting how they, like, that's not just some like shit talk that Jameis is, you know, spitting at him. Like they truly believe that. They're like, hey, listen, your water is worth something. Let me just go ahead and get this done with now.
Yeah.
It's truly seen as like a, this is better.
Yeah.
It's not just him trying to be a badass.
Yeah. And then he moves into position standing with his right arm facing Paul.
Mm-hmm.
If you're standing just like a normal person, he is rotated 90 degrees towards you, right arm facing you, ready to strike. And he just pauses for a moment, looks up, and then gets ready.
Yep. Is it almost like a fencing pose?
Yeah. And Paul kind of like counter positions himself.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell that like he isn't fully comfortable. Like he's comfortable with fencing and fighting in practice.
Mm-hmm.
But as we will come to find out, this is the real deal.
Yeah.
And Paul has never experienced the real deal before.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll save all my comments on that one for tomorrow. Cause we that's much more relevant tomorrow.
Yep.
But yeah. And in true movie fashion, the minute ends right when they square up.
Yep.
So thank you, editors. Look, 98% of the minutes.
They're doing it right.
Have been very good to us.
I think we're good on the rest of the minutes too.
Probably.
The rest of this movie. So.
No, there's one. That's
okay. Yeah. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's is a little rough, but anyways, that's
a problem for tomorrow's episode, which exactly. We're gonna do now.
Okay. Any more movie notes before I head into Bookland?
No.
Okay. Cool.
What's in Bookland, Zach?
Something that I thought that you would be interested in. That we got, in my opinion, fucking robbed of.
Okay. I'm listening.
Glow Globes play a big part in this fight in the books.
I fucking hate this movie now. This is over. I'm done.
Yeah. When the God fight happens, because this takes place in a cave.
Fuck.
Not in like a little crevasse like they're in, right?
You're telling me that I could have had multiple glow globes in one scene.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. They light up the whole thing.
I take back everything positive I've ever said.
You want to start the show over?
Or just start it back in minute one. Hold on real quick. Let me,
I'll delete all my notes.
Dreams are messages from the deep.
Oh, God,
in
no.
Starter car.
So yeah, they make it a point to say in the books that they set up a bunch of glow globes around this cave so that they can see. And it does, you know, special lighting to the Kris knives that they're holding. There's a description in the books of them being milky yellow, and I don't love that.
Ugh.
I mean, I guess I understand it.
But also,
that's just what a way to describe it.
I mean, look, at least the movie upholds that description.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. It's just gross. Chani is so much more helpful in the books than she is in the
movies. I love how not helpful she is in these movies. Well, this movie.
like she's giving Paul like advice on Jameis, like, you know, some of his quirks when he fights, and things to look out for and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. When he says like raw XD in the middle of a fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that means,
but he's super quirky.
Oh God. Okay.
And random. LOL random. Rafflecopter.
You are on the internet a lot more than I am. So or at least motherfucker, you were.
You and I were both teenagers at the same time. That was like prime 2005, 2006 shit. Don't lie to me. MySpace.
I had a MySpace, but I had a MySpace when I was a senior in high school. We did not have a computer, my guy.
Bro, senior in high school for you was prime Facebook time. People weren't on MySpace anymore.
Okay, whatever. The household that I grew up in was not a very computer-centric household. I'm not saying this as a brag. I'm just saying that I missed out on a lot of that early internet culture. I understand it. I just was not part of it. I never had an AOL Instant Messenger account.
AIM taught me how to type.
I'm sure it did. I barely had a Zanga. Oh,
Jesus
Christ. And then, yeah, I had MySpace and then throughout and going into Facebook, but it was not something that I was deep into.
Two very different worlds.
Yeah, and that's fine. I was never the quirky kid on the internet.
No, you're just the fucking weird band kid.
Absolutely, I was.
I mean, I was too, but also...
So Chani is given Paul tips. I said yesterday Jessica was mentioned, or she was commanded to stay silent.
Yep. This fucking witch is trying to use magic on me, man.
Yep. So a lot of the internal monologue that we get in this, like this chapter, and all of this takes place in like 2/3 of one chapter in the book.
Yeah.
She's thinking and she's remarking to herself, like, I've already planted fear in Jameis. So she's done her work.
Yeah. Which we don't get at all in this. Like, he is the opposite. He's fucking cocky. He's just. Yeah.
Now, she's very concerned about Paul for reasons we've already mentioned many times.
Yep.
He's never done this before. He's super unfamiliar with these ways.
Do you ever think she's concerned for him because he's her son? Or is it always the other things?
I think it's a good mix. I think she's capable of having both at once.
Because I feel like...
It probably skews more towards the Bene Gesserit bullshit.
Because I feel like in the movie, she doesn't really, I don't know, at least on Arrakis, not care for him as a son anymore.
Yeah. The books make it a lot more clear that she cares for him as Paul and her son. She also understands the importance, or she's beginning to understand the importance at this point. But it's mostly she still sees him as like the child that he technically is.
That he is. Yeah.
in this moment, Paul is concerned about the knife. Like as he's walking up and they start doing their circling thing, Paul's like, he thinks about the knife a lot. It's very different from the knives that he grew up with in training.
Rightly so.
Yep.
Steel versus bone.
Yeah. And one thing that they call out specifically is that the Chris knives, which is shown in the movie, that they don't have a hand guard. It's just, you know, blade to handle. So they can do those things where if you slide down the length of the blade, you're hitting hand.
Yeah.
Right. So he was trained on knives that had hand guards. That's an alteration of his fighting style that he's going to have to make in the moment.
Well, and he was also trained on practicing with shields and stuff, and he doesn't have a shield.
We'll get into that tomorrow for sure. He makes the book goes to links to make a point of him going, this is a weird knife. I wonder if, you know, if this thing can break and everything. And then Jameis gets up and says, may your knife chip and shatter. And then Paul immediately goes, okay, so I guess it can break. All right. I guess that's true. And then I'll stop there because that's we're kind of caught up with the movie. So, the books and movie, they do a pretty good job of keeping the same pacing throughout the rest of the week.
Minus the fucking glow globes.
Minus the glow globes, but you know, hey, we take what we can get.
Unacceptable.
All right. Well, any more notes on your end?
No, I mean, my day's ruined, so. No, I don't have any other notes or anything from our end. Like I talked about last week, maybe it was even the week before, Art and Soul of Dune doesn't have much of anything for this entire last few minutes of the movie.
It's surprising to me.
Yeah, it's all just talking about, you know, shooting the film in Jordan and like having character highlights for Chani and for Stilgar and for Jameis and like kind of breakdowns of those characters and what it meant to bring them to life and everything in the movie, but no surprises or production notes or anything like that about the choreography for this sequence.
No, we'll
get more into the choreography tomorrow though.
Yeah.
So
keep your secrets, Art and Soul of Dune. All right, cool. Well, if you'd like to reach out to us, we are on Instagram at the Dune Minute. We are on Blue Sky at Dune Minute. We are on Twitter at Dune Minute. And you can send us an email at duneminute@gmail.com. All right, great. Well, we will be back tomorrow for a Wednesday episode. And we will see you then.
See you later.